up, we have Dr. Justin Jackson, who's a Christian doctor specialized in internal medicine and infectious disease specialist, talking to us about in a minute. Before that, Lawson and I were just talking about schools in the U.S. Lying, saying that they would lie to parents. They would not tell. They will omit information to parents, and the whole confusion that's going on there. And Vernon wrote us and said, look, this is where homeschooling comes in. I know it's not applicable to all, but as much as possible, we can try. There you go. This is one of the reasons that a lot of families are deciding to go homeschooling. It's for situations such as this. Lawson, we're approaching.
Let's answer the quiz real quick.
The quiz question. That's right.
Okay, so it was a true or false question. The Bible says Jesus shared a stable with the animals of the inn. That was false.
Yeah, it's
two,
false.
On two counts.
Okay.
So, number one, the Bible doesn't specifically say there were animals there, but you assume so because of the environment that it was. So, most likely, the pictures that we see are accurate, but it's not actually in the Bible that it says that. And number two, the word inn. And I think you wanted to talk on this as well, but most likely it wasn't a hotel, motel like
That's
we
right.
think of an inn. It was more, they were most likely at relative's house. And they were in the lower part where the kitchen and everything like that is kept, but the animals are kept in overnight.
That's right. Exactly. So the Greek word for inn, as in the inn, it exists. It appears in a parable, for example, such as the Good Samaritan.
Mm.
But that was not the word used there. The word that we often translate as inn is actually the word for guest room.
Yeah, wow.
Very good. So I'd like to call in Dr. Justin Jackson. Good morning to you, Dr. Justin. How are you?
Oh, good morning. It's lovely to be with you this morning.
It's great to have Absolutely. You with us on the show again. And we're coming to the Christmas period. We're going to have a lot of rest times and so on. And we wanted to understand a little bit more about how our nervous system works so we can cooperate with it as opposed to go against it. I know that for some people, Christmas time can be quite stressful, for others restful, but let's understand a little bit of how the body works and the science behind it. So I know that the parasympathetic system is a big word, but that's involved with it. So would you explain to us what is that parasympathetic nervous system?
I think perhaps the easiest way to explain it to our listeners would be for them to imagine swinging in a hammock
Nice.
In the shade of a beautiful tree, chatting with a friend and just relaxing after a delicious meal. They feel really calm and they're breathing slow. This mental image really captures our parasympathetic nervous system in control.
All right. So this is the same system that they say rest and digest system. Is that correct?
That's right, yeah. Or alternatively, it can also sometimes be called the tend and befriend system.
Tend and befriend. I like that one. Tend and befriend.
Cool.
That's awesome.
Never heard of it.
This stands in opposition to something like the fight or flight system. Like tend and befriend, they seem like stark opposites.
That's right, exactly, to fight and flighting. So our body's really in a state of balance between these two nervous systems. One's known as the sympathetic and the other one as the parasympathetic. Both are important. The fight or flight system that you just mentioned, that's the sympathetic nervous system, and that's the one that really gets switched on in emergencies. So if you're being chased by a hungry lion, for instance, your heart will be racing, your blood pressure's through the roof, you don't have time to stop and chat and relax, your pupils are dilated, your mouth's dry, and your blood sugar's really high.
Dude, usually I'm a pretty calm person, but I think, you know, being chased by a lion, I would be panicking for sure. Like I'd be feeling all these symptoms.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you need that sympathetic system. But it's interesting you mentioned a panic attack. A panic attack is really activation of the sympathetic nervous system when there's no lion present. And it just really highlights that our mental state, anxiety and depression, are both strongly linked to activation of this fight or flight system. And our mind and bodies, you know, they really are in unison. And what happens in our minds affects our nervous system, which affects our bodies.
All right. So the sympathetic nervous system is a good idea to have if I'm escaping from a hungry lion or from an angry dog. But this is not what we want to be on a day-to-day basis. If you're at work, if you're at your family. So how does it Can we actually be more in that parasympathetic system? Is it possible to activate it, you know, do something to be more on that?
That's right. Yeah. So very interestingly, the parasympathetic system is run by a specific nerve called the vagus nerve. And it's a really, really interesting nerve. It's the longest cranial nerve. So that means it begins in the brainstem and it runs all the way down into our guts. And on the way, its Latin name actually comes from the English word vagary, and it wanders to almost every organ in the body, the heart, the lungs, the diaphragm, liver, spleen, stomach, pancreas, kidneys, gallbladder, before making its way to the small and large intestines.
All right. Well,
man, this thing is getting around everywhere.
It gets around. It gets around. And this nerve, you've probably heard of the gut-brain connection.
Yes, absolutely. And shout out Jennifer Skews, who we have on our show, our resident mental health expert that we talked to about that very thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this nerve is the nerve that connects the gut and the brain. And so I don't know if Jennifer's mentioned, but in a fascinating study exploring how antidepressants work, these researchers took two groups of mice and they put them on Prozac. So they were really happy mice. When I went to medical school, this medication was thought to act by increasing serotonin levels in the brain. But what the researchers did was they took one of the two groups of mice and they actually cut the vagus nerve that we're talking about just below the diaphragm. And guess what happened?
Well, I mean, by the sound of it, it looks like the mice that got their vagus nerve severed, they did not get the same effects. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. So it turns out that we need this vagus nerve, this gut-brain connection. In some way, it impacts on our mental state and our happiness. And interestingly, you were asking a bit before about what we can do to turn on the parasympathetic system. Well, doctors have discovered that if they put in an electrical stimulator and stimulate the vagus nerve, then that can be a treatment for depression.
Ah, there you go. Okay. Would you like to have an electric shock stimulating your vagus nerve, Lawson?
I don't know if I do. It could be pretty cool, but at the same time, I want to look down the natural. I want to understand, like, is there something that we can do with our
everyday? Come on, what's wrong with a little bit of electrical shock, Lawson? Come on. Can't believe that you're carrying out on this one.
Yeah, hey, look, I'm good. I am totally good. Call me a coward if you want.
Let's follow down that natural route.
Yeah, what's the natural part? Give it to us.
We'll run through eight quick natural tips. The first one's really quite simple. It's tip one, take a deep breath or two. Every time we breathe out, the vagus nerve actually squirts some little vagus stuff.
That's the neurotransmitter.
That's the actual name. Yep. Directly onto your heart, and it slows the heart down and it relaxes our whole body. And that's why breathing techniques are often taught. It's the easiest way of activating the parasympathetic nervous system. So if we get our listeners to try it now, what we need to do is just take a deep breath slowly in through our nose, counting to 4 seconds, and then even more slowly breathe out through the nose, counting to 6 or even 8 seconds. And you can just feel your body instantly relax.
Mm. I'm more relaxed already.
Yeah.
What about you, Lawson?
I'm always breathing deep. I'm so relaxed. Yeah.
Awesome. That's pretty
cool. It's interesting. Only 5 minutes of breathing just the way we've demonstrated, 4 seconds in and 6 or 8 seconds out, will relieve anxiety and depression that have looked at this in studies. But 2 minutes before an exam was shown to actually, we're talking about this gut-brain connection, change the judgment and decision making, and people scored more highly on an exam when they did 2 minutes of this breathing exercise.
I wish I knew this when I was at university, Absolutely. Dr. Justin.
Yeah. I think where actually I find this really helpful is when you go to the ice bath. I don't know if you've ever done an ice bath, Dr. Justin, but when you get in, your instant body reaction is like panic, freak out, I'm going to freeze and die. Yeah. But I'm just like, for the first minute, I just take deep breaths. And then after that, it's just so much calmer. It's really good.
And it calms you down. Well, tip two is actually about water.
Oh, so really?
Have a glass of water is my second tip.
Okay.
So our hydration status has really been shown to activate either our sympathetic or our parasympathetic system. And so if we're feeling uptight, take a deep breath, go and grab yourself a glass of water and hydrate. And that will also activate the parasympathetic system.
That's amazing. Drinking water.
Drinking water?
Like reduces your anxiety, depression.
Your stress levels.
Sounds good.
All these kind of things.
All right. Wow. I'm taking notes here. What's tip number three?
Tip number three. Well, that gut-brain connection again. We've got these fiber-loving bacteria in our gut and we just need to nourish them, care for them. So a healthy microbiome is essential for a healthy mind. We talked about cutting that vagus nerve, but the little bacteria that live there are the things that help make some of these neurotransmitters and bioactive substances. And the healthy bacteria need fiber, and fiber is found in our plant-based whole foods.
All right. Mm. Well, there's we often speak about plant-based diets here, Dr. Justin, and one of the Bible verses that we have is to whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. I think this is an all-encompassing text, and I think that eating to feed the bacteria, it's a one way of fulfilling that passage, isn't it?
It's a beautiful, beautiful reminder. And it's not, it's that our eating and drinking actually help us as well in these healthy choices that we're making. And often people have disregarded the effect of eating and drinking on our, on our minds. But a lady with prophetic vision, Ellen White, wrote over 100 years ago that the brain and the nerves are in sympathy with the stomach.
Wow.
And again, she wrote that the success of acquiring good memory and a calm, uniform temper or temperament depends not so much upon circumstances, but upon the way the stomach's treated. And modern science is just bearing that out.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Wow. Because that whole conversation about the, at least for me, Dr. Justin, about, you know, scientific evidences about the vagus nerve and the connection between eating and mood, it's fairly new. I think it's like maybe in the last 10 years, but, you know, what you're saying here is it's counsel that has been written over 100 years ago. So that's quite fascinating, really.
Yes, no, absolutely. And just picking up on your text, not only what we eat or drink, but whatever we do. So tip four, listen to something beautiful. And this was really intriguing as I was researching this topic. I came across a study from just this year in the European Heart Journal with a catchy title called Listen to Your Heart. And what they did, they took these people at a music festival and played them different sorts of music and saw which kind of music would activate the parasympathetic, you know, relaxing nervous system. And what they concluded was, this large study highlights that classical music enhances the parasympathetics more than other music. And interestingly, do you know what had the worst impact on calming the parasympathetic nervous system?
What? I don't know. What would it be?
Well, they're here at this music festival, and ironically, the Spotify mix of the subject's personal choice was having the worst impact on calming them.
I love it because this confirms my conspiracy theory that the Spotify random generated list is like, it's bugging up your brain.
Yeah. Well, that's what this study turned out.
So, that's so funny. Yeah. Wow. There you go.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting that people's own list of favorite music was working against them. I'm wondering though if that would be different if the music that you're listening to is really more like uplifting, relaxing music. So you're talking about taking a deep breath, having a glass of water, nourishing the fiber-loving bacteria, listening to something beautiful. Talk about listening. What about what we watch with our eyes? Does that impact at all? Do you know if there's any research, anything that talks about that area?
Yeah, well, you've really preempted tip number five, which is switch off from our devices. And really, the design of our devices is in order to grab our attention. And there's a saying that if you're not paying for the product, you are the product. And
so true.
It's not us that's the product so much as our attention, you know, for advertising and other reasons. And so our sympathetic nervous system's constantly scanning the environment, ready to leap into action to defend us from threats. And this is really being tapped into with the ping, the beep, and the buzz of our phone notifications. They trigger our sympathetic nervous system. But if we're viewing in the news, video games, or movies, violence, disasters, you know, anxiety-provoking situations, it's as if we're there and we're actually, you know, needing to fight or flight these situations. And so to 100%. Switch on, yeah, the parasympathetic system, we really need to switch off our devices.
That's a bit of a brain exploding moment to me. Yeah. That these little pings and buzzes of our, you know, I have one of these digital watches, and it's constantly vibrating, and I never realized, but it is actually activating my sympathetic system in small doses. And that's, I will turn that function off from now on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I think definitely it does to a degree. It's, much more if you feel, you know, and you can feel your palms going sweaty or your heart rate going up if you're watching certain situations. So these things really, really do have a major impact.
All right, Justin, we have about a minute left. Tips 6 and 7. You said you had 7 tips.
Eight tips.
Tips 6, 7, and 8. How can we wrap that up? What can we see there?
6, 7, and 8. All right. Tip 6 is to laugh out loud. And, I think when you look at kids, they're just laughing all the time. And as adults, sometimes we've really lost that. But you mentioned it's holiday season. And so I think laughing with friends, tip 7, spend face-to-face time with someone. When they've looked at loneliness, this is one of the biggest triggers of our sympathetic nervous system. And lastly, altruism, doing something kind for someone else. So positive social interactions and acts of kindness, really, that's the hallmark of a healthy parasympathetic nervous system.
Absolutely. Tend and befriend, as you were saying before. This is what can really bless us. And
I love it. That was so good. I'm looking forward to practice this tending and befriending behaviors during my holiday time. Dr. Justin, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing a little bit about the secrets of the nervous system. We're looking forward to have you again on our show next year.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show on Faith FM with Scaffy and Lawson. We're going to jump into our Bible study today, Lawson, but before we do so, we need to get our quiz question.
Get your fix. Here it is. Over whose descendants did the angel say Mary's son would rule? So this is from Luke chapter 1.
I know this one.
Verse 33.
I know it.
You are correct. Well done.
Do that again.
This is the hardest question, I think, for today.
Yeah.
Over whose descendants did the angel say Mary's son would rule?
Ooh. Tricky question. I never really paid attention to that passage. All right. Glosson, you got it.
This is some Christmas trivia stuff. Like, I've heard some of these questions before. Maybe not here, but I've done my share of trivia. So
well done. Yes. Right. Do you want to take a stab at it? No.
Bow, bow. Wrong. Sorry.
Neighbor, we'd love for you to send in your answer. 0491-064-669 while Lawson tries to gain control
of
himself.
Lawson is trying to activate my sympathetic system. But I took a deep breath and I'm on a parasympathetic mode at the moment, Lawson. So good try. Try harder next time.
I'm also parasympathetic and I can't stop laughing. Yeah, it's so funny.
I think this is nervous laughing. I think you think it's parasympathetic, but it's really sympathetic.
Wow, that's deep.
0491-064-669. I'll give it to you one last time. Here's the question. Over whose descendants did the angels say Mary's son would rule? You can find the answer in Luke chapter 1, verse 33. We'd love for you to text us in.
All right. Absolutely.
So do we have any text messages to read, Lawson?
Oh, yeah, we've got a few text messages here, some cool ones. Peter writes in, he says, thanks for all your work and prayers through the year. I hope you all get a good rest. Just wanted to let you know, dad is doing much better. Thanks for your
prayers.
Praise
the Lord, Peter. I'm glad to see that your dad is doing better, and thanks for wishing us a good rest. We will certainly do that.
And then we've got a text here from my friend Johanna. She says, shout out Food Pharmacy, having some of their gluten-free sourdough loaf for breakfast. So
there you go.
She's living her best life.
She's living her best life. Absolutely. Yeah. And she's also activating her parasympathetic system. How? By feeding the fiber-loving gut bacteria with great Food Pharmacy food.
Absolutely.
By the way, today is the last day that you can claim your Faith FM prize. If you go to Food Pharmacy, you say you're a listener to Faith FM, you'll get a free drink.
Oh.
How do you get to Food Pharmacy if you're in the Lake Macquarie area? It's next to Warner's Bay area. Cardiff.
It's in Cardiff.
It's in Cardiff, 52 Ada Street in Cardiff. This is inside of the Attune Health Center. It's a big building just off Macquarie Road. So if you're driving past, do not forget to pop by, say that you're a Faith FM listener, and you get your free drink.
Okay, and I'll give you another one. If you if you drive to Food Pharmacy from North Queensland, okay, so if you come down from North Queensland and you can show them your ID and say that you, and say, look, I'm from North Queensland. Lawson said, you know, like, come here, if I'm from North Queensland, I will personally pay for your meal. They'll send me the bill.
All right.
That's my deal.
I mean, why would a person from North Queensland going to do it this side of the country, this part of the year? They're having the good sun up there.
Yeah, that's right. They're living their best life.
They're having the nice beaches.
But that's why I'm putting it, that's my offer. Okay.
All right.
If you're from North Queensland and you come down here and you have in your wallet your ID that proves you're from North Queensland, I will personally pay for your meal. Food Pharmacy will send me the bill.
Okay. All right.
Just shout out all my North Queensland people. I just feel like blessing you guys.
Shout
today.
Out our friends from Townsville and surroundings. And
hey, I'm sure that there's got to be some of them who are like, we actually are headed or already in your area because we got family here. And so they can take up on that.
And let me just say this as well. If you're from North Queensland and you're getting your Lawson sponsored Food Pharmacy meal, just like, have a blast.
Go hard.
Like, go hard. Yeah. Go hard. Like, buy the entire store. Like, Lawson's going to have a new job.
Listen,
he's cashed
out. It'll
for
come
the
out
year.
Of my wedding budget, but, you know, such is life. Listen, you can come to my wedding too. Just
look, worst case scenario, Lawson can sell his scooter and
that's
settle
right.
the bill.
Recoup the money. That's, you know, I've got options.
You know,
guys.
You can get like a fair bit of money for your scooter, like, $400 or so.
$400? No way, sir. My scooter is way more than that because it's a good scooter.
Okay. All right. Well,
yeah. It's actually in the shop at the moment. And it's getting all the high end parts, scooter part. This is part two to the previous conversation we had where my exhaust pipe fell off and I got home by wrapping my undies around it. So part two of
by wrapping your what around it?
My undies.
Your undies.
Yes. For those who weren't here.
And you say that this scooter is worth a lot of money.
It is.
Man.
It is.
The amount of that scooter is just like the lungs it looks like it had smoked for like 200 years.
What? Why do you say that? Is that because smoke comes out of it? Like,
yeah, it's just like that's a black smoke that comes out.
No, not black smoke. There's some gray smoke, but that's because it's two stroke. So that means it runs like you mix oil into the fuel.
Oh, this is why smoke. It's so smoky.
Yeah. So that's not a defect. That's a feature, bro.
All right.
That's not like a glitch.
I guess that if you put a little grill and some veggies, you can have like some smoked veggies.
No, not two-stroke oil smoked veggies, bro. That's like that's just you just get cancer. That's just poison.
That's
like,
right. Well, so Lawson, make sure that you don't start a TikTok challenge. The
oh no way, no
smoked
way.
Vegetables Lambretta challenge or something like that because there's
crazy.
Going to be a whole bunch of young people following you. All right, enough with nonsense. Let's get into some sense.
Yeah.
And let's open up the Bible.
Finally here,
another message.
Oh,
yeah. All right.
And I will give free insurance if pink elephants trash your veggie garden. So if a pink elephant stands on your veggie garden, call Stuart, he will look after you.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, he's not qualifying.
What if I have someone dressed up as a pink elephant?
Oh.
Just in my garden.
And then, like, but then you could say, like, oh, no, but it's not a pink elephant. It's a person dressed as a pink elephant. But if the pink elephant gets away, then you'll never actually know if it really was a pink elephant.
Well,
because you can't prove it.
I have a picture with the pink elephant, so.
Wait, all right. What?
Mm-hmm.
Are pink elephants real?
Well they might not be alive, but they're real. Oh,
you could just paint
in Wisconsin, we have a giant pink elephant, like you guys have the big banana, the big da-da-da-da.
Yeah, all big magpie, so we the big have peach.
There's a
Big Mac.
A giant pink elephant that's outside of a servo on the way, you know, driving on the freeway. So someplace that we went to every year when we were going to Indiana, Christmas time usually.
Mm.
I would always be like, please, can we stop? Because elephants are my favorite animal.
What do you do in Indiana?
That's where my dad's family was from. So we would go
there. What do you do in Indiana? Holidays.
Yeah.
You watch the Pacers play basketball. That's the only thing I know about Indiana. What else is in Indiana?
The Hoosiers?
The Pacers. Like
and the Hoosiers.
What do they do? They play hockey or something?
Basketball as well.
Which basketball?
Well, I don't know. One of them would be college and one would be...
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, so the Hoosiers are probably a university there, Indiana University, and then the...
Yeah.
Anyways, interesting times, interesting thoughts. You're listening to The Breakfast Show. We're just cutting loose. It's our last show of the year. In fact, okay, I need to disclose something. My colleagues are currently in the studio.
You betcha. Let's talk about this.
Yeah, they're in the studio wearing their pajamas, and that's because... They don't have to do any work up.
There's nobody else in the office today.
So in the office. So I said, hey, let's wear our pajamas to work tomorrow.
That's a great idea. So I brought my pajamas. I did bring some normal clothes as well because I needed to run some errands after today. Man, I'm going to do this on the pajamas. And then Lawson shows up.
Lawson's square.
He's square. And then I was thinking here, hey, maybe this is his pajamas. Lawson has been coming in his pajamas every day for the past 365 days. And we were like, and Shell and I were thinking, man, we're such rebels here. We're coming in pajamas in the studio. And Lawson has been doing this for like ages and nobody noticed it. So it's just like,
we just didn't know.
Joke is on you guys. Like, you thought that you had it.
Dude, imagine, because I'm actually wearing my, my uniform for my other job, you know, working in the motorcycle workshop. But imagine then. If I was wearing the same clothes from the motorcycle workshop to bed, like
No. You change them. You go to you wear like clean clothes.
But then they're not pajamas.
They are pajamas.
You wear pajamas to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But look, pajamas are the clothes that you sleep with. They don't necessarily need to be specialized clothes.
Yes, they do. I'll fight you on this one. Nah. My husband and I have had this fight and I will win.
I mean, yeah. Let me know, send me a message to 0491-064-669 if you have never, or if you actually do wear like old t-shirts as your pajama.
I'll send you a message
right
now.
This is one of the best ways to recycle old t-shirts.
Absolutely. I have never owned pajamas in my life. Ever. Actually, no, that's
not
true.
Up until
I was like maybe 8 years old. After I was 8, I have never worn pajamas in my life.
We know, because you come to work every day in your work clothes and just wearing them the night before.
Dude, it's either an old shirt or it's nothing. That's just how it goes. Wow. That's just the best way to rest, from my opinion anyway, from my side of the story.
All right, so if you feel disturbed by that image of
you might be
sleeping,
entitled to compensation.
No, call Lifeline 11. You can have a chat with them.
You're cancelled, bro. You're lucky this is the end of the year and, you know, all the complaints are going to fly through to a closed office and you have time to go through and delete them before HR can read them.
All the complaints that arrive here from my bad sense of humor, I'm going to get them and put in the Santa mailbox somewhere down the road.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen to them. All right, listening to The Breakfast Show this morning here, and let us know, hey, do you wear just normal pajamas or old t-shirts, old clothes to sleep? Let us know. We want to see who wins that fight. 0491-064-669. I was just looking here on Google. What is Indiana known for?
This is what it got.
Indiana
is a cornerstone of is a cornerstone of America's industrial and agricultural sectors. It's just like, this must be a very boring state. Sorry to say that. Shout out to the amazing people of Indiana.
It's got the motor speedway.
Indianapolis 500.
Is Indiana. Yeah. I never connected it. It makes sense though.
Yeah. That's right.
All right. This is to show you how much I know about Midwest United States.
Yeah.
Very good. Let's get into Bible study, because at least here I know a little bit more.
At least you get some confidence.
I have some content to cover here. Let's look into John chapter 20, verses 11 to 13, Lawson.
John chapter 20. I'm going to pull it up here in my Bible. John chapter 20. And which verses are we going to read?
Let's read from verse 11.
Okay. Verse 11, the Bible says this. But Mary stood outside of the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because you have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Sorry. "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now, when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be a gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher.
All right, let's pause here. Man, this is so beautiful.
Yeah, this is epic.
This is epic here. There's so much that we will unpack from that story and the stories that come after that. But one of the things that I want to notice is this.
You're listening to The Breakfast Show. Connect with us on 0491 064 669.
One thing that I really, really get stricken by every time that I read this passage is the tactfulness and the gentleness of Jesus.
Mm.
Mary, she's crying. She's crying. She's sad. She doesn't know what has happened to the body of Jesus. She really cares. And Jesus, when he sees Mary in tears, when he sees the droplets of salty fluids flowing freely from her eyes, Jesus' first response is, "Woman, why are you weeping?
Mm.
Why are you crying?"
When I first became a Christian, around the time that I was becoming a Christian, I heard this powerful sermon. It was coming up to Christmas. I'd just been baptized, and I heard this this sermon. It was called, "Why Are You Weeping?" And it was actually preached by my good friend, Braden. And he preached a sermon called, "Why Are You Weeping?" And it was just all about this particular story and expounding on the fact that, you know, the angels are asking, Jesus is asking, "Why are you weeping?" This woman is weeping because she sees what's happened as a great tragedy. You know, not only Jesus' death on the cross, but the fact that his body is gone. But the reason he's asking this is to communicate to her through this question. The angels and Jesus are communicating is like, this isn't time for mourning. This is time for celebration, you know, jubilation and elation, you know, that Jesus has given his life. He's lived, he's died, and he's resurrected to save you from sin. You know, this is the greatest moment of all of heaven is celebrating, you know, that Jesus has been resurrected. Why are you weeping? Celebrate as well. Like, he's not being harsh to her here. He's just asking her the question.
Yeah, I love how he's saying that. He's being so gentle with her. Because he could have said, "Hey, stop crying. No need to cry. I'm here." You know? And I think that every time that we are in tears, the best place to go is to the lap of Jesus.
Yeah.
And every time that we are crying and we are praying, the first thing that God will ask us is, "Why are you weeping? Why are you crying?
And
tell me."
I think, man, when we can reflect, when we can ask that question and start to reflect on the things that God has done for us, the way that God has blessed our lives, like we start to realize, like the sun comes out proverbially in our lives, like we can see so clearly, wow, I am so blessed. Like I've been given so much. Like if we can stop for a second and ask ourselves, man, what's got me so sad? And I think there are things that are worth crying over and worth struggling for. I think of, you know, bereavement over a loss of family and that kind of thing. It's like, man, that's hard. That's really, really, really hard. But I think if we can stop and realize that, yeah, God has blessed us so much, that's what can help us to get through it and get over it. You know, and you see Mary here, man, she is so bereaved. Like she's so sad because she loved Jesus.
Look, Larson, let me tell you this. One day, believe you, you know, you might become a parent, a father. One of the things that every time that my kids are crying,
yeah,
I think of this verse because that became my go-to answer to when my kids are crying. So when my kids are crying, I don't say, stop crying. Yeah, sometimes I do. But most of the time they say, I get down and say, hey, why are you crying?
Yeah.
Why are you crying? Tell me what's happened.
What's some of the classic answers?
Cookie, my household. They can vary, you know. Oh, you know, Antoine is crying that his older sister, you know, either pushed him or didn't let him play or took something from him. And yeah, it usually has to do with, you know,
typical squabbling,
sibling, you know, conflict. You know, you hurt me, you took something from me, you're not letting me in peace, whatever it is. So, you know, sometimes he's like, you know, I got hurt. But I love the follow up question as well. It kind of captivates my imagination as well, because normally I would say, what happened? Why are you crying? What happened? And Jesus didn't ask what happened to Mary. He was asking, whom are you seeking? And look, I might be going a little bit overboard here, but I think that it's actually quite profound that he's asking whom you're seeking as opposed to what has happened. Because what has happened, it's like, what happened? She could have said, look, they stole the body of my Savior, or they stole the body of my Lord, or they taken away somewhere. But he said, look, whom are you seeking? Because really, when we are sad, it's not so much when we are truly sad, it's not because so much that we lost something, but because we are not seeking the right person. We're not seeking God. We might think that we are sad because we lost something, but Jesus is saying, if you're sad, it's because you're seeking, either you're not seeking God or you're seeking Him and you're not finding Him.
Yeah, wow.
So I just wanted to challenge my own mind here and our listeners as well. Hey, when you're feeling sad, ask yourself, instead of asking yourself, why am I sad? Why have you lost? Asking, whom are you seeking and you're not finding?
Yeah.
Or what are you seeking? Better not find. Because when you seek God, you know, the Bible says that blessed are those who mourn, because they shall be comforted.
Yeah.
The Bible says that all of our tears are stored up in God's bottle. He knows each one of our tears.
Yeah.
There's just something that God really feels pity and compassion upon a crying person, a crying human being. And His attitude is to comfort. But how can we get that comfort if we're not going to Him? So I like how he's God, or how Jesus here in this case is, he's shifting the attention from Mary from the question of what happened to the question of whom are you seeking? She might even have said, look, I'm not seeking anyone, because Jesus who I was seeking, I thought him to be dead. And implying that question by Jesus is saying, no, him whom you're seeking is not dead.
Yeah.
He's alive. Why do you think, Loz? Do you think I'm far off here? I'm off the mark.
I don't think you're far off. I think it's why, you know, whom are you seeking? I think it's a,
because it's unusual, isn't it?
Yeah.
To ask that.
Yeah.
What do you think, Shel? Do you think it's unusual, or do you think that, nah, it's totally,
I think there's a spiritual element that's particularly pretty deep, but simultaneously, I think that, if you're at an empty cave and you're in there crying, I think maybe whom are you seeking, particularly if it's like a grave or something. Maybe that's a pretty normal question.
All right.
But what do you think, Shel?
I like what Skies just said. She says, it's a challenge to seek him and feel comfort when things still appear the same.
Oh. Yeah.
But they, are they the same though? Are they the same? I'll give you two scenarios here. One is that something sad happened. You lost someone. Mm. You lost something very important to you.
Yeah.
And you were sad. This is one scenario. The second scenario is that the same thing has happened, but you can feel the presence of God right next to you. He's right next to you. He's comforting you. He's consoling you. Has anything changed, or are these two situations the same? To me, they're not the same. It's one thing to suffer by yourself alone. The other thing altogether is to suffer having someone who really profoundly cares for you right next to you. Someone whose presence is cheering you up. And look, it might be that you're still going to be sad, but one thing is to be sad without God, and another thing altogether is to be sad knowing that God is with you. He's comforting you. He's promising you. He has plans of good, not evil to you. He's giving you strength. I think it's different. So maybe nothing has changed in the sphere. Maybe the person that was lost hasn't come back. Maybe that which you lost, or, you know, it's gone forever. But something did change when we pray to God, his presence. I think it's something that changed. And if we don't seek that presence, then nothing changes. So I don't know. Look, it's when we're talking about suffering, it's very hard, Lawson, with people. Look, all of us as human beings are somehow acquainted with suffering and loss. This is true for me. It's true for you, Lawson. It's true for Shell. It's true for everyone. It's true for babies, I would say. Mm. That being said, I do not know what everybody has experienced. Chances are there will be people that have experienced way worse things than I had experienced. Mm. And it's very hard. How do I talk to them? In that situation, I cannot say, look, I know what you're going through, because I may not know. But what I can say is that God knows what you're going through, that his word is trustworthy. So, and the Bible says that in the presence of God, there is joy, there is comfort. Mm. So what I can say is that if his word is true, even though things have not been restored yet, going through ordeals with God at our side has to be better.
Yeah.
Is better than not. And even if things get restored and God is not there, are you going to be really happy? If things get totally restored, but the presence of God is not assured to you, is that going to be of any consolation and any comfort? Mm. I don't think so.
Yeah.
But it is a hard saying. This is something that each person needs to go through individually with God. And if God's words are true, he will come through and he will mourn. He will comfort the hearts of those who mourn.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
We are talking about, we're studying the last moments of the life of Jesus here on earth, his resurrection in John chapter 20. We're going to continue that, but we have a last quiz question of the year. That's a lot of pressure, Lawson. Let's give away the answer to the quiz question. You can give the answer, and because you got it right and they got it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So you can tell me what it is and I'll learn.
Over whose descendants did the angel say Mary's son would rule?
Yeah, and it was over Jacob's descendants.
Jacob. How did you know the answer?
Well, I've heard it in a quiz.
Okay.
But it's there in the text. That's the point that it's making.
Yeah, I thought, oh, Israel, but I don't remember the word Israel being there. And it's like, oh, Judah. But it wasn't Judah.
Yeah.
It was Jacob. Well done.
Congrats. Liz got that one right. She's the only one.
All right. Mm. Congrats to you. Do we have any text messages?
We do, but let's do the last quiz.
All right, let's
quiz. Okay. So, saying it's the last one of the year just made me sad. Anyway, here it goes. After finding out Mary was pregnant, what did Joseph want to quietly do? After finding out Mary was pregnant, what did Joseph want to quietly do? We got two correct answers.
Emphasis
here.
In the word quietly.
This one is a much easier one. Let's see if you can get it correct. 0491-064-669. We'd love to hear from you. Text in if you know the answer to, after finding out Mary was pregnant, what did Joseph want to quietly do? And now we can do text messages.
All right. text messages.
Okay. Oh, I got something from Sky. She writes, also reminds me, when you reach out in a trusted group and someone, says, leave it to the Lord. I have been and am, however, a spouse of God isn't appearing at my front door, or leaving it to God alone will not fix my car also. So, okay. Some interesting, you know, life challenges.
Yeah.
And it's, I think there is something about, yeah. Like,
yeah,
praying,
she's saying that, we need to let him hold our hand and keep looking up, but you still have to do stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just, and yes, so sometimes it's not a very sensitive thing to say, just leave it to the Lord, you know.
Oh, for real, yeah.
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 That's a cop-out sentence sometimes,
it's,
I think.
It's also a bit of a conversation ender at the time, at sometimes. I'll pick on this phrase a little bit, like the leave it to the Lord thing, like, you know, In young people lingo, like amongst my generation, the you know, in different generations, different groups, you kind of different words indicate things. If someone says, if you're texting someone, right, and someone says, like, and you tell them about something, and they say, ah, that's cool, you basically know in my kind of lexicon in my generation's lexicon,
shutter.
That's just, it's over. Like, they don't want to talk to you anymore. Like if they say, oh, that's cool, and then they don't follow up with any kind of question, like, they're not asking you to continue. They're essentially saying, like, hey, it's, you know, it's over. Like, the conversation that we're having, it's not really interesting anymore. I'm giving you, this is a, me saying it's cool is a bit of a politeness. Thank you for saying that to me, but I'm done here. And leave it to the Lord can sometimes be like that. It can be, someone can be telling you about their deep struggles and burdens, and you hit them with it, just leave it to the Lord. And, like, the next move for you is, I don't know, just, like, end the conversation and walk off. Like, I don't see it as something that's super compassionate. I think there's some wisdom in the saying. I think there's truth in the saying, leaving it to the Lord. But, yeah, it's just, it's not always, I love what you said, Shell. It's not the most sensitive thing when someone's, like, pouring their heart out and, you know, just, hey, leave it to the Lord.
So, yeah.
You know.
That's right. It's a complex thing because sometimes this is exactly what, you know, you think that they should do. She's like, you know, trust in the Lord. Because this is the thing. She said about when we talk about prayer, you pray as if everything depends on that prayer.
Yeah.
And then you act as if everything depended on your actions. That's the balance.
Wow.
Here. But there are times that there's nothing that can be done.
Yeah.
And in those times, I say, look, there's nothing that can be done. You have to leave to the Lord. Wait.
That's our slogan here. Talk faith, live faith, act faith.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have all of those aspects.
That's right. And sometimes there's nothing that can be done. This is why when Abraham believed, the Bible says that was counted to him as righteousness. Because what could he do at that moment in regards to God promising him he's going to be a father of many nations, his descendants will be as numerous as the stars? The only thing that he could do at that moment is just to believe and be at peace and be at rest and say nothing else. That was the action.
Yeah.
That was the visible action. Unbelief would be him asking God, but how? But this, but it's impossible, whatever. No, he believes him. Okay. Yeah. I believe. And God said, okay, this is the best. Sometimes to believe and be quiet is an action.
Mm. I love what Wayne wrote. Yeah, he said, right? Leave it to the Lord, but also say, let's pray together now. Like, that's powerful, man. It's amazing, you know, seeing people's reactions to, like, who aren't necessarily even that religious as well. But I've had it before, people just, like, pouring their heart out to me about their issues. And like, hey, look, can I pray for you? And I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
And praying for, man, that's really touching.
Other than that, although I think that this is really good advice as well. Let me pray for you. Let me take some of my time. I think that the complete package, in my opinion, Lawson, let's talk about this. Like, someone comes to you, they are sad.
Yeah.
Crying, just like Mary coming to the gardener. You know, I've had that situation before. This is, I think, it's the complete care package.
Yeah.
That we can offer. Is say, look, you can say, look, tell me more. No, tell me more about it. What happened? Like, you know? And, you know, why are you crying? And they will say, this happened, and so on. And being a good listener includes paying attention.
Yeah.
Affirming and asking questions. Oh, so this happened. And and then what happened and so on. And now, and also from a believer's perspective, asking, okay, so, you know what? How, you can ask something like, okay, have you spoken to the Lord about that? All right. Mm-hmm. What did he say to you? Some people say, look, I haven't yet. It's like, well, it's maybe you can, you know, would you like me to pray with you right now? Just sometimes ask questions like this, or, you know, what would you like to do about it?
Mm.
You know, I'm wondering if perhaps you could do, you know, and this is one way that you can suggest something without being intrusive. Instead of saying, oh, you should totally do this, blah, 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 blah. People say, look, no, I don't want advice. Sometimes you can ask, hey, look, would you like to, you know, well, how can I be a friend to you? And sometimes people will say, look, I just want you to listen. Lots of times people just want someone friendly to listen to us, you know? And sometimes they want advice that they don't know what to do. So I like to ask this question before I give any unsolicited advice. I ask, you know, how can I be a friend from you, you know, for you? What could I do? And if people are open, they want to know what I would do in that situation. I like to start by saying, I'm wondering if perhaps.
Mm.
I use that little phrase. I think it's a great little phrase. I'm wondering if perhaps, because it's look, I'm wondering if perhaps God can teach us how to live happily in our singleness.
Yeah, wow.
What you're doing is that you're offering an option, and that person can say, look, no, I don't think that that's the case at all. I think that I would be, you know, miserable forever if I don't have, you know, a special one. So everybody's entitled to, you know, I'm not saying that people will say this, but everybody can be entitled. But at least you're not saying, oh, you should totally just be content.
Yeah.
What you are. So I'm wondering if perhaps, you know, that person was, they didn't even realize that they were hurting you.
Mm.
I'm wondering if perhaps they were feeling afraid when they said that. And just, this is called reframing, just offering other options of interpreting a certain problem or giving a different perspective that helps you to rise up and say, you know what? That's a thing that is common to the human experience. I'm not being singled out. And this, I think, it's so important. When we are suffering as humans, irrespective of what kind of suffering it is, it's a very healthy thing. Instead of asking God, why me? Like, why am I being singled out? So I'm not being singled out. I'm experiencing part of the lot of humanity. Suffering and injustice is part of humanity's lot. Not being singled out. And I understand this. I accept the fact that, look, this is my suffering going to be. And it's not because you're being singled out. You're sharing, this is something that everybody has in common. And then the next question would be, God, can you help me? Can you be with me? Can you promise anything to me?
Mm.
Jacob, for example, said to God, we spoke about that, I think this week, Lawson, he said, look, God, you have promised that I'm going to get back safely to the house of my father. Well, therefore, I will give all my tithe to you.
Yeah.
Like, God, you have promised that you're going to wipe away every tear of my eye. You have promised that you are going to be, I have a friend of mine, she says, look, she's divorced, and she says, the Lord is my husband now.
Mm.
And whenever she goes, she says, oh, my husband will give this to me. She's talking to God. Oh, I'm going to talk to my husband. She goes and prays. Because there's a passage in Isaiah where God says, I will be a husband to you. And I love that what she was doing was she was claiming the promises of God to be true on her life. And she said, you know what? I don't have maybe a human good husband, but you know what? The Lord is going to take care of me even much better than any husband would.
Yeah.
And that's how, you know, and you look at her, you could not tell at all that she's one least, you know, discontent with her situation. But that was her way of dealing with that. So the asking God, you know, is there any word that you can give to promise on me? And when we lay hold on that promise and we live as if that promise was true, that's when I believe a lot of transformation happens in our heart as well.
Yeah. Man, I just think that's such a big thing to, like, if we're right with the Lord, you know, and I'm not saying this to be like insensitive to people's situations. But yeah, if we can let God transform us, the challenge, and if we can get right with him, like the challenges that come our way, like we can overcome. I just love Paul's reaction to his challenges that he speaks about in, particularly, I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and 11, where he's like, look at all these things that I've been through. And should I boast in them? He says, no. Should I boast in all my sufferings? Should I, you know, whine about them? He says, no. What I'm concerned with is with the health of the church, you know, is with the hearts of people who are endeavoring to follow Jesus. I'm wanting that. This is my worry day and night, is that people would be following God.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
There. So the answer to the quiz, you say, you want to know it, do you?
We would like to, please.
Okay. So the answer was to put her away or to divorce her. After finding out Mary was pregnant, that was Joseph's initial thought and response.
Yeah. And it's interesting that he wanted to silently keep, and the Bible says that he did not want to disgrace her.
Mm.
According to the Jewish tradition, she would be, for a marital infidelity like that, she could even be stoned.
Mm.
And Joseph, look, I don't want this. You know what I love about this one? I'm just going to say this, Lawson. I know that sometimes people are hurt, and particularly when it comes to marriages and relationships, people get really hurt sometimes, and they get divorced. And often I find I'm talking to someone that got divorced, and whenever they're referring to their exes, they are doing so in a negative way.
Mm.
Sometimes more so, sometimes less so, sometimes kind of implied. Joseph, on the other hand, he had, at least as far as his mind is concerned, he had just been betrayed and had adultery committed against him by his fiance. And his response was, you know what? I'm not going to tell anyone.
Wow.
I want to preserve her. I'm not going to say any word that is going to bring any kind of shame or disgrace to her. I think that this is quite the character of a man.
I agree with what you're saying, but I would have to say that bitterness grows, because quite often you see couples who are like saying exactly that kind of thing when they split. They're like, you know, I'm still going to, we love each other enough and we respect each other. We just can't be together, da, da, da. But something happens as they've split apart, and that bitterness grows and grows and grows. And within time, oftentimes you'll see that they've turned into the more hateful towards each other, even though they weren't when they did split.
Yeah, absolutely. This forgiveness and bitterness, they have to be dealt with. Absolutely. Otherwise it grows like a cancer.
Yep.
Yeah. Not just saying the words, but also forgiving in their heart. And it's a long journey, accepting what happened. And and sometimes one party is doing it, the other one is not really committed at all, and they're running a defamation campaign against you.
Ugh.
And again, I know that some people don't like, from what you're saying, like we were talking about, like, you know, sometimes this is not an adequate thing to say, but sometimes the answer is leave it to the Lord.
Mm.
It is leave it to the Lord, because what can you do? You can either come down to their same level and not resist evil, but repay evil with evil, which is not the Christian way. Or you can say, you know what? The Lord will repay. Vengeance is His.
I think that the point is that we need to accept the Lord's will. And sometimes we're pushing for the things that we feel we should have answered prayers for. And often it's only when we accept, you know what? This is what God wants for me at this time, and I will accept that this is my life, and this is how He wants me to live it, and I will make the best of it. And yeah, and oftentimes when people do that, then that's when they get the thing that they had been praying for anyway.
Yeah. And also that there's, I think that the Christians, they are not entitled as well. Oh God, I deserve this, because everybody has it. I need to have it as well. When you look at Jacob's response, for example, he said, look, God, I'm so unworthy of everything good thing that you have given to me. Mm. When we see ourselves as that, it's easier to accept God's will as us. Look, what I'm worthy, really? I'm worthy of eternal death.
Yeah.
That's what I am really worthy. Anything that goes above that, it's absolutely by the grace, by the mercy, a blessing from God.
Absolutely. Hey, Liz wrote in. She said, wishing you a restful break.
Thanks, Liz.
Thank you for getting up early and bringing us all the breakfast show. God bless you
all.
Our
pleasure.
Hey, we have been incredibly blessed. We love you guys. And
we love you very much.
We'll see you in the new year. There will be Faith FM. There will be a breakfast show. It won't be us live.
Yeah, stay tuned with us.
Stay tuned. We're going to have the best off.
But, right now. Hey guys, talk faith, live faith, act faith, and
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Christmas.
Happy New Year.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.